live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's 12:30. I'm Alex Elbra. I'm doing a lunchtime show, in case you tuned in, and we're expecting Neil Whiteside. He's now on mornings, and I'm doing Tuesday and Wednesday lunchtimes. And I'm very pleased to say hello to my new guest for this lunchtime, my first one on this show. It's Donna Ferguson. She's a freelance journalist, works mainly for The Guardian. She's nodding. Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Donna. Yes. I'm very excited to be here.
We've been doing stuff on my Wednesday morning shows, looking through the news papers, the local newspapers, and we've been picking up stories. Now, you are very local as well, but you also went to university here, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So I was at King's College. Yeah, I thought it'd be really fun to sort of review the, now that I live here and I've got a family here, like how the university interacts with the town.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, it is set up for students, but there's a lot of benefit to, I think, residents to living in a university town. And sometimes you just don't know about all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, we were talking about this sort of off-air, weren't we, saying there's lots going on, and I think sometimes we don't realise where to look or what to look for. So we're going to call this Cambridge Matters, because that works on many levels. And we're going to sort of look back months and months, aren't we, find things that the university are doing that are open to the public and that we might like to go along for, especially this month with the school holidays coming up.
Exactly, yeah.
So what are we going to start with?
Well, for first one, it's actually something that's happening at my my old college, King's College. They've created a meadow, a wildflower meadow. So they actually did it for the first time in 2020. And it's in front of the chapel. I'm sure many people will have come across it. But it's the first time since the lawn was laid in 1772 that they decided to do this. And basically, it's completely covered in about a third, I think, of the actual lawn is completely covered with poppies and cornflowers and oxeye daisies. And they've just released a study, which they did, on the impact of it on local wildlife. And it found that it supports three times more species of plants, spiders and bugs, including 14 species with conservation designations, than the grass that's right next to it. So even though the grass area is actually twice as big as the wildflower meadow supports three times more species of plants, spiders and bugs.
And that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's just, and you just think, why, you know, there's all that lawn and it costs a lot to mow and...
And no one's allowed to walk on it.
Exactly.
So it's not that it's stopping anyone get across there or anything, is it?
Well, exactly. And it's sort of this... I guess, emblem of privilege, you know, don't keep off the grass. Only the dons and the fellows and senior members of college are allowed to walk across this precious grass. Whereas now it's like, actually, this is for the public good. Mm-hmm. I really like that. And they found 84 species of plant were actually counted in the meadow.
So they didn't add anything to this. They haven't like thrown wild seeds across it or anything, well, have they? They have
started
kind of,
in 2020 right. with 33 okay. species, but now it's got to 84 just naturally, mm-hmm. I guess from birds and other things and insects maybe carrying these other plants. But that's quite amazing, isn't it, to think that
in 3 years
exactly it's just mm-hmm. grown of itself. And then the other cool thing is they said they found 8 species of bat feeding on the insects in the meadow and visiting it. And the leader of the study, she's called Dr. Cicely Marshall, she said bats are foraging three times more often over the meadow than over the lawn, even though it's half the size.
Because it's, I mean, they're there, there's lots more and they can probably sense them more, can't they, and everything else.
Exactly.
That is absolutely fascinating. Now, I'm assuming that also that they did it in 2020 because it was lockdown, semi-lockdown then. Mm. And, well, I say assume, that's a bad word to say.
well, I think
a lot of us didn't do those sorts of things and just left things. And then, of course, there's been more emphasis on no mow May, and we've been made aware that actually this does good. You know, you don't need to keep everything pristine or pretty as we thought, or that's what we thought pretty was. To
immaculate,
have it all, yes. And have it all very well groomed and everything else, but actually to have a little wild area. And you say it's a fifth, did you say a third of the
lawn? It's a third of the lawn.
Okay.
And I think, because I managed to go through... there were some paths that they'd cut through, and to go through it at this event I went to at King's recently, and I mean it was quite special, and you can get some wonderful photographs. I don't know if how it's still in bloom at the moment, but certainly, you know, I think it's something which I just thought is a lovely thing that a college is doing for the kind of for the wildlife of Cambridge, and it's good to hear about these things and know that, you know, they're willing to make changes to the way that they've always been perceived.
That's the thing. I think that's what, you know, we're hopefully going to draw out on in this show, is that things are changing and they don't always have to be as they were. And we'll hopefully, you know, we'll hear about more things going on in all the different colleges and how that relates to what we're doing now. For this Wild Meadow, can people walk in it, or do they have to have gone into the college to...
I think they have to go, they have to get admission to the college, but I think if you're local, you can get a card which entitles you to free
admission.
That's
what we actually, I think for another show, we need to look up how you do that.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be really good, because I think a lot of people don't realise that you can get this, it's like a CAM card, I think it is.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and I used to have one, and I don't have one now, but I think they're really useful, because I think that gives you entrance to all the colleges, doesn't it?
Exactly, I think definitely King's, and yeah, and it is really lovely. I think it's this melding of, like, you know, that really old chapel and then this sort of new idea of the Wildflower Meadow, even though obviously it's an ancient thing to do, but it's very refreshing to go there and see that change.
Mm. I guess also because you were there quite a few years ago, so you will have definitely noticed the change. Yeah. And of course, we spoke about a few months ago now about the solar panels they put on the roof. So, and that must be being really good for their energy as well now.
Yeah, I think they're still going up, because they're scaffolding up, and yeah, I mean, again, that's a really cool thing that the college is doing, and I think maybe more colleges should do that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking into it. I know I was speaking to someone from Jesus. I went to an event there last, Jesus College, not from Jesus. I haven't had a divine intervention. And they were telling me some of the things, and I'm hoping to get them on, because who knew that all these things they were doing and putting ground heat source pumps and all sorts in. So yeah, there is definitely a change, and looking at temperatures in Europe at the moment, we really need these changes. And really, really, really need them fast. I don't know if we can work fast enough, but let's hope so. So moving on quickly, because we are going to run out of time if we're not careful. Well, so we've got a couple more, haven't we?
The other one that I want to mention was the Cambridge Shakespeare Festival, which is a lovely event. It runs every year, and it's basically Shakespeare in the college garden. So it's a wonderful way to feel part, to do something really Cambridgey, you know, Shakespeare outside in these gardens. And there's six different plays. The ones that are on, there's three on until the 29th of July, and then there's three other ones on that are on until the 19th of August. The ones that are on at the moment are Much Ado About Nothing in St John's College Gardens, Julius Caesar in Downing College Gardens, and The Winter's Tale in King's College Gardens. And then after that, it's Midsummer Night's Dream at Trinity, The Tempest at St John's, and Romeo and Juliet at King's College. And tickets are available at the door if you pay cash, or you can buy them online beforehand.
I'm just going to say about the online, I've been caught out before, and that sounds mean, but you might want to check the weather before you do it.
It's sort of safer to turn up on the door, isn't it? On the evening itself, and just pay cash. It's £19, or if you've got a concession, like you're a student or an employed or an OA, it's only £15. And I've been, I think, 2 years in a row, and I've really enjoyed it. Like, I went to one in Downing last year, which was really funny, Twelfth Night, I think it was. And then I also saw Hamlet once. Was it King's or something? But it's just so atmospheric. It's amazing how you don't really need a background with Shakespeare. It can just be, you know, this sort of...
I guess it was probably how it was originally
very few
put on, you know.
Stage, yeah.
Like the Globe, of course, is quite bare, isn't it?
And
like,
it's out, kind of outside. Well, it's open roof, isn't it?
So, and where do they go online if they want to? Is it just Cambridge Shakespeare.
Cambridge Shakespeare Festival, if you... Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's really
worth... And you can take a picnic, can't you, I think, and, yeah, and a blanket
and
chairs.
Deck chairs.
Good.
Deck chairs, so you don't have to... Because it is a bit...
Oh, they provide those or
they,
bring
they
them.
They do provide, or you can bring them. I think they said there's like 200 chairs provided, but I find it safer to bring.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's just a limit. I mean, I do love Shakespeare, but sitting without any kind of like support, and just I prefer a deck chair. But yeah, I think that's a really lovely thing to do. I don't know if you've got time for
one more. Yes, we'll do one more very briefly, but quite brief, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's a new exhibition which has just opened today at the Whipple Museum, which is this, if you've never been, it's this tiny, quite hard to find museum in the centre of town, and it's all about science. And this exhibition explores the work of women in the British instrument trade between the 17th and 19th centuries. So it exposes the often unseen work of craftswomen who made instruments for measuring, modelling and investigating the world. So they were kind of, they were part of this scientific world, but they didn't get much credit for what they were doing, as often is the case. Mm-hmm. So it's quite nice to see that as a kind of way of highlighting the role of women in science, and it's completely free.
And you said it's the Whipple Museum. Whipple. I don't know where that is. I don't think I've ever been there.
It's quite near Downing College, mm-hmm. Downing Street, I think. And then been there, but I'm just
googled it. Yeah, it would tell you where it is.
It's very, very sort of hidden away, and it's got all these amazing kind of science objects inside, but like quite weird ones. Like it's got fake horse teeth.
Ooh.
And they use that to know, like all these different, and they use that to, so you could hold it up and see whether someone was trying to sell you a horse that wasn't the right age or something.
Oh, it
was
my goodness, how exciting. Yeah, that's really interesting. You see, that's the sort of thing I love. And as a child, I spent a lot of time in the Science Museum in London. So to know that's here, and I didn't even know that.
Yeah, as a child, it's wonderful. Yeah. Like, it's really, like children, it's really set up for children to kind of look at all these weird objects. And
it's free. And do you know the opening hours? That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, I don't actually. Oh, okay. But yeah, that's a good point. But I think...
They seem to open a lot more than they used to, don't they?
They're not open... They tend not to be open on Mondays and Sundays, which is quite annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But over the summer holidays, that's going to be a brilliant one, isn't it?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I reckon, any museum that you haven't yet been to in Cambridge, even like the little folk museum, that's quite fun. Just have a look at them, because we have something like 10 or 11 museums here. And... many of them, I don't even think I've been to this one called the like a classical museum.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't been to it either.
Again, I haven't been to that. Yeah, so yeah. I need to check that one out.
Well, that's a really good start. I mean, we could go on for a long time, but unfortunately we have run out of time. Thank you very much for that, Donna. Absolutely fascinating. And some really good things for us to do for the next month. And then you'll come back in August and we can have another look at some other things that are going on between town and gown. So that's Donna Ferguson and that's Cambridge Matters.
Cambridge 105 Radio.